Campus mi ar klita pun seba jina Colin Fitz dan huwa min ajnejn barrani, Malta through international eyes. Ħanaqleb l-Ingliż għaliex il-mistidna tagħna illum għalkemm ilha tgħix f'pajjiżna tħoss aktar komda titkellem bl-Ingliż, għalhekk ħanintroduċi persuna illi l-vuċi tagħha żgur ħatkun familjari. Anka d-dera tagħha probabilment imma l-vuċi żgurissimu jekk intom dilettanti tat-teatru u attendejtu f'dawn l-aħħar 20 sena xi pantomima, xi musical għaliex hija attriċi u kantanta prolifika, għandha vuċi distintiva ħafna. Jiena għalija meta nisma' titkellem nimmaġina li qed nisma' xi qed nara xi programm televiżiv Amerikan, partikolarment xi wieħed ta' snin 60 jew 70. Catherine Brown, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I was just explaining in Maltese there how whenever I hear you speak, I imagine I'm watching an episode of I Dream of Jeannie or or I Love Lucy or something. Because it's so wholesome American, old school American sitcom voice.
Yeah, I sometimes do feel like I'm living in a sitcom, so that tracks.
I also explained how you've been in many pantomimes, many musicals, mm-hmm. and straight plays, of mm-hmm. course. In mm-hmm. the last 20 years or so in Malta?
Oh, goodness, in Malta, 28 now.
28 years?
Yep.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. As in, when did you first come to Malta? 28 years ago?
I moved to Malta in 1996.
Okay, and before that, as in, take us through birth country.
Lord, help me.
To the countries you've lived in.
I always skip a country. I always skip some years somewhere, so I'll try and keep it straight.
Okay.
Born in Niagara Falls, New York.
Okay.
Lived there from 0 to 2.
That's United States.
Uh-huh. Then we moved to Holland. Mm-hmm. The first time we were sort of in the south of Holland for, I believe, 5 years. Then to Ohio for a year.
Back to the States.
Yep. Then, oh, Lord, this is where I always miss a year. I believe that was when we came to Malta for a year. Because my mother's Maltese.
Okay.
My father, U.S. Air Force, was stationed in Turkey at the time. Okay. And we weren't allowed to accompany him.
Oh.
So my mother, we moved back here so that we could be close to my mother's family.
Okay. Turkey being a NATO country, so that's why there were American bases.
Exactly.
There. Okay.
And it was close enough that for long weekends and holidays, my father could fly over and we could be together.
A lot of people had a similar situation when they were set stationed in Libya, mm-hmm. and the family would be based in Malta.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to St. Dorothy's Slema.
Ooh, Ma.
Oh, for my sins.
Was there a St. Dorothy's in Slema? I always associate St. Dorothy's with Mdina and Zabuj.
They have those there.
Yes.
But there is a St. Dorothy's Slema.
Ooh, Ma. Okay.
It's very close to St. Dorothy. It's very close to Slema Primary.
With all respect to St. Dorothy's ex-students, current students, staff, and people. I mean, it's a little joke.
Oh, come on. It was a while ago.
Okay.
I mean, at the time, this was a very long time ago, Maltese speaking was not encouraged.
No, that's a fact.
So I went to a Maltese school for a year, and my Maltese sentence, which my mother swears I came home telling her, was, "On deck pencil, please." Two words of which are English.
Oh, my goodness.
And this I learned in my Maltese class. So it's not like nowadays where Maltese is loved and respected. Mm. Back then it was not.
Mm. At least
absolutely
in certain
not.
Areas. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I experienced a similar situation in St. Joseph's Lima mm-hmm. in my primary school. Now, we're roughly the same age. So we're talking here the 80s, early 80s.
Oh, goodness. I would Oh, that sounds about right. Yes. I lose track.
Okay.
After that, we went, oh Lord, back to Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Florida for a year.
God.
Loved Florida. Florida was fabulous.
Yeah.
Florida was fabulous.
Sounds nice.
Well, we knew we were only going to be there for a year. Okay. So we treated it as a year-long vacation. I went to Walt Disney World 7 times.
But the way you're speaking is that all these moves, I mean, you are what the Americans call an army brat or
Air Force brat in your case. Yes. But military brat.
Did you ever hold it against your parents that you could never be in one place for a long time and settle down and make friends? Or were you one of those kids who embraced the experiences?
Mostly I embraced it. Mm. I mean, occasionally I would get a little upset about it.
Mm.
But, I mean, my parents didn't really have much patience for that kind of moping. This is your life. Suck it up. We're not going to change because you're a teenager and mopey.
Okay, so Florida.
So from Florida, Germany.
Okay. How many years in Germany?
Well, my parents are still there.
Okay. Is this, I know there's a big base in Ramstein.
Well, we started off in Bremerhaven.
Okay.
That's
in the north, I think.
Yes, way up north. And then when I graduated high school, I went to university in Colorado.
Oh.
And while I was at university, my parents moved down to Frankfurt because there's the big Air Force base near there.
Uh-huh.
And then they moved down to where they are. Oh, no, then we went down to Darmstadt, and now my parents are down in Bavaria.
Oh, near Munich area.
But after I graduated university,
College. You're American. You say college.
Well, my my university was a Catholic university, but it started off as a college.
Okay.
It started off as a college, and while I was there, it was reclassified as university. Yes. I'm not sure exactly the whole ins and outs of it, but I think the size has something to do with it.
Who am I to tell you what to call your
Lord help me, I have no idea. But when I graduated, I moved back with my parents for a year.
In Germany?
I did my student teaching in an American school in Germany.
Okay. What did you graduate in? What did you study?
Well, in Colorado at the time, a lot of people don't realize that, but every state the education in every state can be different because education is something that is dealt with on a state-by-state basis.
Mm-hmm.
What I generally tell people nowadays, just think of the EU. Every country deals with
United
a lot of its
States.
Own stuff
Indeed.
Itself, and the states are the same way.
We often forget that, but America is made up of the United States.
Exactly.
They may speak the same language in each state, but with different nuances, with different accents, with different...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So in Colorado at the time, I don't know if it's changed since then, there was no such thing as a degree in education. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher, a primary school teacher. So what I got was a Bachelor of Arts in education. My areas of study were education, theatre, philosophy, and English.
Gosh, that's a wide range.
That was my major.
Germany for a year after, and you did your teaching practice there?
And because my original plan was to be a Department of Defense teacher, teaching in the schools that I grew up in.
Oh, of course.
Because there are American schools all over the world for children of service members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that when you go back stateside, you're not behind in that area of education.
Yes.
That was my original plan. Unfortunately, at about the time that I graduated, the U.S. was closing bases all over the world. There was a major drawdown.
This was probably after the collapse of the Soviet Union the Berlin Wall came down.
Uh-huh. Mm. And all of that. I was in Germany when the wall came down.
Oh, wow.
Lord help me, that was a night.
Yeah.
That was a night.
History.
My parents and I were actually out at the opera.
Yeah.
We were watching Barber of Seville. My brother, not surprisingly, stayed at home. But, oh, as we were driving back, we were hearing these cars just hooting all over the place. And we couldn't figure out what was going on.
Which city were you in at the time?
We were still in Bremerhaven.
Okay.
And we got, because the wall came down in 89.
Yes.
Which was the year before I graduated. Mm-hmm. So we used to go to East Berlin all the time.
Oh.
As service members, we could do that. Mm-hmm. But we got home and my brother came running out, you know, just wearing his pajamas. My mother was about to yell at him when he just started yelling, "The walls down, the walls down, the walls down." Uh-huh. And we raced inside and they're on the television, yes. You know, people jumping up and down on the wall. I mean, we had been to the wall. Mm. We had been to the Checkpoint Charlie Museum, the terrible things that happened yes. there were just unbelievable. And it was all gone in an instant, it felt like.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks later, we went to Berlin. We rented our hammer and chisel for 10 marks. And, you know, we chipped away at the wall. It was brilliant.
And you still have a piece of the
Berlin wall? Oh, yeah, yeah. We had a whole bag of Berlin wall.
Wow. Amazing.
Uh-huh.
But to go back to the story of your life and the different countries you've lived in. So a year in Germany doing a teaching practice.
And then I had to think, OK, I can't now teach at a Department of Defense school because they're all closing.
Closing. Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? And that's when my mother suggested, why don't you look at Malta?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, why not? So I applied, I came down, I looked at a whole bunch of schools, I applied to a whole bunch of schools. And the one place, the minute I walked in, it felt like home.
Oh.
Was San Andrea.
Okay.
And I mean, when I met the head, who was Mrs. Ross, bless her heart, brilliant woman.
This is still when the school was at its... Shortly after it was founded, I assume.
Yes.
90s.
Yes. It hadn't moved to its current premises yet, but it was about to.
Okay, so where was it based?
They were in Gzira.
Okay.
I put in my application, but the minute I walked out, I told my mother, this is where I want to be.
Wow.
And so I had my first interview in Gzira, mm-hmm. but my second interview was at the current premises.
Which is Imjar.
Which is near Imjar, yes. Near it's between Mostar and Imjar.
Indeed, indeed.
And
as a primary school teacher, that's what you were
as a primary school teacher.
And the fact that you didn't know Maltese, I assume, did you?
They were the only school that I applied to that was willing to work with me on that.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, actually, the headmistress herself took my Maltese lessons. And since I was one of the few computer literate people at the time, remember the times.
Yes, of course.
I was tasked with looking after the school's computers.
Ah.
Every classroom had computers in it. We were one of the only schools at the time that had that.
Yes.
So during the time that my Maltese lessons were being taught, I was going around from classroom to classroom, making sure the computers were in good repair, dealing with teachers' issues.
And somebody else would teach your kids Maltese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ah.
So,
and most of the other language subjects, maths, science, mm-hmm. Whatever, they would be taught in English.
Everything else was taught in English.
The textbooks are in English.
In English.
Probably still to this day. I think.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, so now we do. Now I'm not the only non-Maltese speaker in the school. I mean, I understand Maltese and I do speak a bit, but not in an accent that anybody would want their children to emulate. It's quite, apparently, from what I understand, quite amusing to hear me speaking Maltese.
Well, now that you've tempted us, you have to say a sentence.
I've already said my Maltese sentence. You heard it.
Yes. But you, let's get this question out of the way, because mm-hmm. I do ask about the Maltese language mm-hmm. Foreign people who live in Malta or Maltese who have lived most of their life abroad.
Uh-huh.
Did you never feel the need to learn Maltese well?
Well,
since 96, since you've been here?
The only time because we lived in so many other places, the priority in the places we lived was the language of the country we were living in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke Dutch when we lived in Holland. I spoke German when we lived in Germany. After we lived in Malta, we went to Turkey for 3 months. And in those 3 months, we learned basic phrases. Mm-hmm. But the only time my mother spoke to me in Maltese were words I was not allowed to repeat in front of my nonna. Only when she was cross.
Gosh.
For some reason, again, it probably, because when my mother was young, Maltese was even less valued than when I was here. So she got fined. Okay. She had to pay 10 cents every time she spoke Maltese in school.
So she went to church or private school as well when she was young?
Church school, I think.
Yes, there was this trend, unfortunately, mm-hmm, at the time. Mm-hmm. I see.
So it was...
So she was a bit Pepe, your mama.
I don't. It's very possible.
I'm teasing.
Well, my mother's family is from St. Julian's.
Okay. So English speaking, probably, principally.
Mm-hmm, very, very, very English speaking.
So you decided to come to Malta on the strength of the job.
Yep, I got a job. I mean, I've always loved Malta. Wherever we lived, Malta was always our base.
Oh, okay.
When we lived in Holland, we would come down to Malta for summer and mm-hmm. for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Same when we lived in Germany. Whenever we could, mm-hmm. I mean, Malta was always our base. So yes. I didn't even meet most of my father's family until I was in university.
But in the States.
Mother's family, I knew them. Okay. I knew them all.
I interrupted you, in fact. You were going to tell us. So you didn't feel the need to learn Maltese since...
No, it's not that I didn't feel the need, especially after I moved here. It was just not the highest priority from where we were living. Mm. If I knew then what I know now, I would have made sure to learn Maltese back then.
Why do you say
like
that?
Because it would be easier if I spoke Maltese fluently. Mm. Then I wouldn't need to do the team teaching that we do. I could teach my own kids mm-hmm. Maltese, which, you know, the teacher that teaches my kids Maltese is brilliant and wonderful, and she gives them an enthusiasm for Maltese mm-hmm. that sometimes, because San Andrea is a very English-speaking school, sometimes the children lack the enthusiasm for learning their own language, which is mm-hmm. very sad. Mm. They're my kids.
Yeah.
And I prefer teaching my kids myself. Uh-huh. So giving up that little bit of control is a little difficult for me.
Yes. Now, I'd like to ask a bit about your parents. Mm-hmm. Your mum is Maltese.
Yes.
Your dad, American. Where in America is he from?
He has a similar story to mine because his father was also in the military.
Oh, I see.
So he was raised hither and yon. I believe he was born in Connecticut, mm-hmm. but moved around, spent quite a number of years in England, in Cambridge.
Okay.
Because his father was stationed near there. And ended up, he enlisted in Hawaii. And that's where a lot of my father's family is now based, because that was where his father was when he retired. Ah. My parents are in Germany because that's where they were when my father retired.
Did he fly or was he a ground base?
No, he was radar technician.
Radar technician.
Radar technician is how he ended up here in Malta to meet my mother.
That's what I wanted to ask. Yes, how did your parents meet?
Well, there was a teeny tiny little Air Force installation here in Malta. Now, if you go to Meleha, where the red
tower is,
and you go to the very end of that little bit of cliff,
there's still
you'll
a
find
radar thing
a piece
there.
Of a concrete,
yes.
which is all that is left of the teeny little military installation that was there. There were five airmen stationed there with this radar installation, yeah. and my father happened to be one of them.
This was still the time of British military were still in Malta.
This was the 60s.
And the British, yeah, exactly. And, mm-hmm. and Malta was not a part of NATO, but it was used for NATO reasons.
Yep.
Because of Britain and the United mm-hmm. American aircraft carriers would visit the Grand Harbor.
Yep, all
yes,
of that.
I see.
All
okay.
of that. Mm-hmm. And
so your dad was based in like on that edge like yep. of yep. Malta in that tiny installation radar, uh-huh. probably covering the southern Mediterranean.
Yep. Very likely.
And watching for submarines and ships and planes.
And planes and that sort of stuff. And my mother stole his ring.
Stole his ring?
Yep.
How did, what
well,
do you
she
mean?
Was, they were out in a group and she fancied him.
Okay.
But he was too shy to ask her out. So they were on the way home on the bus and, you know, they got to her stop. The bus stopped. She leaned over, grabbed his ring and left.
So your mom fancied you. They met out in...
In a group.
In a group somewhere.
In a group somewhere.
Do you remember where? Slim
oh, no, said, not a clue.
Because Spatchaville didn't really exist in
no,
those days.
No,
so maybe
at,
Valletta.
Not at the time. Maybe.
Okay.
And so he sent one of his friends to ask for it back, and she said no. If he wants it, he has to come back and get it himself.
Oh, cool. What a lovely story. This this should be made into a, you know, a movie, a romantic film. Or, sweet.
And that's...
And they never looked back. They started dating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
They got married. They spent the first few years here, and then, you know...
He got stationed elsewhere. And,
uh-huh.
And your mom. And your mom adapted easily
very,
to all the different
easily,
countries?
Very easily, yeah.
Wow, what a story
mm-hmm.
that is.
Mm-hmm.
That is. Okay, let's take a little break from talking. And the song, one of the songs that maybe you've prepared for us
well,
to
I
hear.
Mean, I...
some a song that maybe represents your life or one of the places you've lived in or who you are.
I mean, thinking about my early life, the song that... There are a number of songs that could go. I mean, I think of Hit the Road, Jack.
Okay, yeah.
which is always...
Because you're always on the road.
Because we're always in the same vein, on the road again.
Indeed.
These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of those, you know, are very much, you know...
They represent you.
Uh-huh.
Representative
uh-huh.
of your life. So shall we choose one of them?
Yeah. What are we in the mood for?
Maybe Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walking?
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Th- Fantastic tune chosen by Catherine Brown.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt that I sang a variation of this when I played Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots in Panto.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Very quickly, just to refresh our listeners' memories, give us a rundown of the major shows you've been in the last 20 years.
Oh, Lord, help me. 16 Pantos.
Mm-hmm.
One
wow.
with you,
yes,
if you recall.
Indeed, you were the baddie, I was the dame.
Yeah, one of my favourites, my very first baddie. Yes. I've played a number of baddies since then. Baddies are always amazingly fun.
Indeed.
Amazingly
yes.
fun.
But you're very adaptable. You can play the goodies,
uh-huh.
the baddies.
Innumerable fairies.
Yeah. Is it a natural talent or did you attend like drama school somewhere?
No, I never did, but again, growing up in the household that I did, we were always very musical. I grew up listening to Rodgers and Hammerstein and Lerner and Lowe. Mm. And, you know, we always had... I knew all of the songs for The Sound of Music by the time I was three. Annie was my favorite musical growing up. I tried to convince my mother to dye my hair red so I could be Annie. Loved them. Well, always loved musicals.
Earlier on, you said that you attended the opera in Germany. So again, so it seems like our family appreciated the arts.
Yes, yes. My family very much appreciated the arts and they always encouraged both my brother and I in the arts. When I was in high school, I played the flute. I was in the drama club, the Thespian Society.
So more of the shows that you've been in here in Malta. I know we also did, what was it, Into the Woods together.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
The first time it was staged, way back in 2010 or something. Or 20.
Yeah.
No, that was 2007, I think, or 6. Gosh.
Lord help
ago.
Me. Stop throwing these dates
Indeed.
At me. it was a while ago. Shall we
Indeed.
Just say it was, a while ago.
A while ago.
That was a good one. I've done a number of Shakespeare's.
You have.
Which I very much enjoy.
So can you do the English Shakespeare traditional accent or do a Shakespeare with that American twang?
Well, it depends on the show. Some directors want the very traditional presentation, and some want a spin on it.
Yes, or I mean, set in modern times or whatever.
Yes, yeah. when Chris Gutt directed Merry Wives of Windsor, God only knows how long ago, he set it in a 1960s British holiday park, and it had music in it, and it was just so much fun. I mean,
so you did the British accent?
No, I played one of the minions.
Okay,
so we were dressed as bikers in leather, and it was just so much fun. And and Mike Basmajan was Falstaff. That was a
good
so
show.
It really does depend on the production,
Indeed.
How the director wants to spin. I mean, and theatre in Malta is such a vibrant scene. There's always something going on.
Rock of Ages, you were in, indeed. Again,
I remember
we were in
that together. Was really good.
But how did you first get involved in theatre? Was it tough, difficult to break into, you know, the clique, the club sort of people who were already performing?
At the beginning, it was... because people get this view of you...
Mm.
And if they see you as, you are, you know, chorus, you are lesser characters, they are very reluctant to give you the opportunity to be something more. Mm-hmm. But I had done a number of productions with Ralph Mangione.
Okay, God rest his soul.
Oh, I think of him, especially at Panto time.
Yes.
He
was always in Panto doing something or other, yes.
And he was the best.
Yeah.
The best. I loved Ralph. He gave me a chance in one act. He cast me in his one act. And we won for best production, I believe.
This is the MADC One Act Play Festival. Which has often given a leg up to people once they win the best, most promising actor or...
I won best actress that
year. Oh, there you go.
And
That puts you on people's radars.
It was really good. So that when I auditioned for Panto right after that, I mean, I was fresh in everybody's minds. So I was cast. And it was my very first Panto. And I had So much fun.
Uh-huh.
So much fun.
And what
fun.
Part did you do in that one?
I was a fairy.
Okay. Which is an important part in Patrick.
Uh-huh. My name was Fairy Nuff. No, there were four fairies. The main fairy was, oh, good Lord, there were four of us. Oh, I'll remember it in a minute and then I'll kick myself okay.
Do you
for
remember,
forgetting.
What panther it was it?
It was Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
There was JP, it was his first dame.
Oh, wonderful.
Ed Caruana Galizia was prince. Yeah. Calvert, Julia Calvert was the main fairy.
Okay.
And we had an unbelievably good time.
Indeed.
People ask me why, you know, don't you find it stifling here in Malta? Don't you? I find that wherever you go,
mm-hmm.
people are people.
Mm-hmm.
There are good people. There are not so good people. There are narrow-minded people. There are open people. There are people everywhere. And people are pretty much the same wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you mm-hmm. to make of your life what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And going somewhere else isn't going to change you. You have to change you. So if somebody is finding it stifling here, mm-hmm. then it's the choices that they have made themselves.
Okay.
Your life is what you make of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, really. So
So you've been outgoing and made friends and got yourself mm-hmm. involved in theatre. And
mm-hmm.
so the quality of your life is pretty good, shall
yeah.
we say. And
oh,
you have
yeah.
a good job. And
I love my job. It is, in my humble and in completely unbiased opinion, the best job in the world.
Okay,
I mean,
teaching.
And I have a hobby which is brilliantly fun and
indeed,
such a creative
theater,
uh-huh.
performing. Have you done any movies or TV
no,
series?
No,
Maltese
was,
TV series?
I was going to be cast as a small part in a movie years ago now, but unfortunately, I had school.
Oh, dear, yes. You can't just
so
take
I
leave anytime you want to, unless
exactly.
it's summertime.
Exactly.
Okay.
So unless it's something's uh-huh. happening in the summer, I'm very restricted on my time.
So you're happy in Malta, and mm-hmm. and have you ever sort of felt that maybe you were judged in a certain negative way, or people avoided you because you're foreign, or have maybe you ever experienced somebody trying to take advantage of you because they assume that you're a tourist or something? Let's delve a little bit into negativity.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I said, Malta was always our base, so I was very familiar and very comfortable in Malta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you've wandered about. I am mistaken for a tourist occasionally. In the summer, I want to wear a button that says, I live here. So that they stop approaching me with offers for this, that, and the other. I no, I've ridden a carrozzina. I don't need to ride another one. No, I don't want a tour of the three cities. No, I don't need, an evening cruise on this. No.
or what's that thing when they try and sell you timeshare?
Yes, yes, yes. No, I don't need that either.
What are the, and you've already said a few of the nice things about
mm-hmm,
living
mm-hmm.
here. Like, expand a bit about, you say sort of you love your job, you love your
uh-huh.
your community, you love your hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So life is pretty good, dare
yeah,
I say?
Yeah, I mean, there are ups and downs, of course there
well,
are. But they're not Malta specific. There are ups and downs, you know, you would find wherever you are. I mean,
so problems with the buses, traffic.
Oh, good Lord, problems with the buses. But, I mean, in the US, problems with the buses.
I only mentioned that because
uh-huh.
you said you had a problem getting here today.
Yep. I mean, like I said, usually the Tallinia app is brilliant, but today it let me down very badly.
But it's not a purely Maltese thing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could happen.
And the traffic. Lord help me, traffic.
So you've seen changes, I mean, since 96 to
yes,
today.
Yes, you know.
The goods, the bads? What's changed for the better? What's changed for the worse?
the amount of building, unnecessary building for the most part, I think. I mean, I live in St. Julian's, and near where I live, there are three major construction projects. What idiot at the planning authority authorized three major construction projects within two streets of each other? I mean, why? I mean, it's, and that's difficult. Parking. Is obviously an issue.
Yeah.
So there.
Things have changed. Some things have changed for the better. Malta, yeah. Malta's more cosmopolitan now.
Malta's more cosmopolitan now. We've got a very solid infrastructure for things like internet. I mean, there's. I don't know if I've been anywhere in Malta where I'm not connected. Which is not the same everywhere. And especially, you know, you go to a place like the US and you hear about the problems they have with that sort of thing. So, and that's not a problem that we have here. You know,
one thing I've seen over the years myself, and I'm sure you agree with me, that since the late 90s up till today, even our theatrical and artistic productions have really taken on a professional hue.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Not that things weren't, you know, people tried very hard in the past and they were productions were good. But have you been told by foreign friends who visit you in Malta, maybe family from abroad, and they see you on stage or they see a production and they say, this is, you know, Broadway standard, or this is West End standard.
Yes, yes.
Have you received that sort of compliment?
Definitely. The year before last, when I was in Panto, it was a masquerade Panto, Chico and the Chocolate Panto. I remember I was baddie in that one, and a friend of my mother's from New York came and watched, and she absolutely loved it. And she did say, you know, I've been to Broadway productions that were not as solid as this one.
Wow.
And, you know, she was very, very impressed. And she said next time she comes down to Malta, she'll bring her husband and they'll make sure to check out the theatre scene. When we did Matilda, it was the same thing. We were getting, you know, people telling us that we were West End, Broadway standard, which it's really nice to hear. And sometimes on the night.
Yes.
On the night, people will always tell you, you were brilliant. Doesn't matter how crap you were, they will tell you you were brilliant on the night. But it's after some time has passed that people can start feeling like they can be a little honest with you and say, you know, this could have been a bit better.
Yes.
I haven't had that with productions within, as you said, the last 5-10 years where people are really becoming more aware of the standard of theatre and there's been a concentrated effort on bringing the standard up, which I think is good for everybody.
Absolutely. Of course, then people complain a bit about the cost of the tickets, which has had to go up as well. But of course, that's the whole reason why, because the productions are so much better.
As in everything else, you get what you pay for.
Indeed. Plus, we're getting paid as well. I mean, you probably started off at the time when we would, as performers, we would get some petrol money or gas
Money.
Not even that. But in the 2000s, it really started to become, you know, the norm that performers and stagehands and whatever, everybody gets, if not enough to live on, but it's fair.
It's unless you do theatre very consistently, it's never enough.
And maybe
to live
teach
on
a bit as well.
If you want to make your living from theatre, you need to not just do productions that make money, which is another issue. You need to teach as well. You need there needs to be more than just performing on stage, because you won't make enough money from that. But the fact that nowadays we are paid a little more than petrol money, although, you know, if you spread it out over the entire rehearsal process, you realize it's not very much at all. But it is what the production can afford. So, you know, yeah. It, no use being snippy about it. I appreciate any anything because it's also a measure of respect for our time and our efforts and, you know, the fact that the audience is there to see us.
Yeah.
So any money that the product that the company makes is off of our labor. So it's only fair that we get compensated a bit for it.
Catherine Brown, my guest on Minayne in Barnani in Malta through International Eyes on Campus 103.7. This program is broadcast on Tuesdays in the afternoon and with a repeat in the evening, and then is eventually placed on the Campus 103.7 website and can be downloaded onto your computer as a podcast to be listened to whenever you wish. Now, Catherine, the second tune that we can play that sort of represents you and your life and your traveling and the fact that you've lived in Holland, Germany, the United States, Turkey and Malta.
Oh, goodness. Well, the second song I was thinking about sort of... I have so many songs in my head, but I think the second one has to come from a musical.
Absolutely. Totally represents you.
I mean, the one of the songs that very much represents my teaching is Getting to Know You from The King and I.
Okay.
I mean, she is a teacher.
Yes. Anna is the character.
But occasionally... There's from Bye Bye Birdie, there's What's the Matter with Kids Today?
Okay.
Which is also
really good. So we'll remind our listeners that you're a primary school teacher.
Yes, I am.
But you're also a part-time performer in musicals.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most sought-after performers, if I say so.
I
do think so. I mean,
from your
very
mouth
consistently.
To director's ears.
You've performed consistently in the last 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So which one shall it be? Shall we play the one from The King and I?
That one is a sweeter one.
Okay. Let's go with that one. So introduce it to us.
Or this is Anna, the teacher, introducing herself to her students, the children of the King of Siam.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me, getting to know you, putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know say, haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hold you like me, getting to know you, putting it my way but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day.
Fantastic. Piece of music there chosen by my guest, Catherine Brown. you and I share a passion, not just for the theatre, but also for science fiction, particularly Star Trek. Me here in being brought up here in Malta, you being brought up in the States and Germany and various other countries.
Yes.
And yet it's something that we have totally in common.
I was raised on Star Trek.
And we're saying old Star Trek mostly.
The original series.
Next
Kirk,
Generation.
Spock,
yeah.
And Next Gen,
Generation.
Yes, yes.
Not so much the Star Trek that's being produced in the 21st century.
No.
That has changed a lot.
But that can
be watched at the moment.
Don't really watch a lot of that. Mm. I don't find it representative of the feeling of Star Trek. Star Trek is more than just the names of these characters. Indeed. It's a philosophy.
A positivity, looking forward, looking mm-hmm. to the future, mm-hmm. that humanity does have a future.
Yes.
We will get over nuclear weapons and all these mm-hmm. problems mm-hmm. that we have, that we will use technology to become a better species.
Yes.
In the next 300-400 mm-hmm. years. So that's the... And that's what unites people from around the world. Maltese, American, mm-hmm. German. Mm-hmm. There is this phenomenon called Star Trek.
Yes.
And I know that a lot of our listeners would have watched and maybe even enjoyed and perhaps subscribed to the values of Star Trek mm-hmm. here in Malta and also around the world who might be listening. But I think it's quite interesting to point out that when you were living in Germany,
mm-hmm.
you got involved in these famous Star Trek conventions. Fans gather to meet and hear the stories mm-hmm. told by some of these Star Trek actors.
Yes, I've met most of them.
So you have to tell us of these celebrities you've met, you've met, and what they're like. Because you were an organizer.
And I wasn't an organizer.
No.
I was a volunteer who worked at the convention. I was generally assigned as guest liaison because... obviously, being in Germany and the actors are all American, very few of them spoke German.
Yes.
So the best guest liaisons were people who spoke both English and German.
Of course.
So myself and my parents, who would work these cons very regularly, were very highly sought after as liaisons.
And was there a specific convention that is famous, Comic-Con or something like that?
No. Comic-Con is... there are Comic-Cons now around the world, but back then the big one, and it still is, this is San Diego Comic-Con, you know, in the US. But this was called FedCon.
FedCon in Germany. Which city?
In Germany. It was in Bonn. And it 1 year it moved somewhere else. I can't remember where, but for the most part it was in Bonn.
Yeah.
So, but I started going to conventions in Colorado.
Oh.
And that was when I first saw Shatner,
William
Patrick
Shatner.
Stewart.
Wow.
but the Star Trek person that I personally met and just adored more than anyone, Leonard Nimoy.
Gosh. Mr. Spock.
Yes. It is a privilege of my life to have met him before he passed.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful man.
Really?
A wonderful
gentleman.
Oh, a true gentleman.
Multi-talented, they say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that he looks, when you see a picture of his face
mm-hmm.
or him on stage or him on, mm-hmm. on the screen, you kind of get a sense of this man is a good man, a
yes.
wise man.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the characters he plays, but even
mm-hmm.
behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what you felt about
yes,
him?
Yes, yes. He was so giving and so kind and so understanding.
With that deep voice of his.
Oh, lovely. In fact, when we met him that year, he came to the con in Germany. But from there, he was on his way back to Israel to play Tevye in a production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, wow.
Which he was very much looking forward to.
Because he was Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his famous sign, the Vulcan salute,
uh-huh.
comes from Judaism.
Exactly.
That's what it originally.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But he was just a lovely man. I mean, the original series actors were, for me, the most...
Iconic,
but also they had lived with Star Trek for such a long time that
since
they had
the late 60s.
Gained that deeper understanding and that appreciation for the fans. I mean, my mother and I, you know, had a 2-hour conversation with George Takei in the bar.
Oh wow, Sulu!
All about politics, because at the time he was running for office in California.
Gosh.
So he and my mother got along like a house on fire.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and they were just—it was, you know—and then you get to see that they are real people, and you know, not just those characters, but you see how much of themselves are in the character.
In the characters you see on screen, because, for example, George Takei. He used to campaign a lot for people to know about World War II and how the Japanese people in the United States, or Americans of Japanese ancestry in America, were detained during World War II.
They were interned.
Internment
camps.
They were arrested
and put in internment camps, which is, you know, absolutely unconstitutional and should absolutely never have happened.
So that's the side of his character that you know, that's not Star Trek, but that must makes him a very interesting man.
Yes.
And you, what about Captain Kirk, William Shatner?
Shatner, I'd seen him on stage a few times. I'd never met him personally, just sort of in passing. As a liaison, we were allowed into areas that the general public weren't, you know, and in the green room where the stars were waiting to go on stage, we could go in there. In passing, hello, how are you? But not the sit-down conversations that I've had with others.
Okay. But does he have an aura? I mean,
he's Captain Kirk.
He's still alive. He's still so active now in his 90s, going up into space.
Exactly. But Shatner, I mean, I don't know. It was just my impression. Like I said, I never got to sit down and talk to him personally.
Yeah.
But he always seemed, when he was with people that he didn't know, he seemed to have a sort of persona that he would put on. Mm-hmm. He was very entertaining, dedicated to entertaining his fans, and very, very much the actor William Shatner.
That mask.
So yes, I always got the feeling he had that mask on. Now I don't know if
which
that
he could switch on and off at will.
So very likely I wasn't seeing Shatner the person. I was seeing Shatner the actor, which I respect. I mean, he has every right to keep himself private if that's what he wants.
Indeed.
So there's this idea that the public has a right to somebody's innermost thoughts is just nonsense to me.
And social media has ruined, I think, a little bit of that aura and division between the human being that is a star and the human being behind the stardom.
Well, I mean, if you think
because
about
now you have to post all the time about celebrities are expected to post about what they're eating.
Think about it. The big celebrities don't do
that. They don't do that. No.
They don't need to.
Yeah,
you know it's the for lack of a better word, minor celebrities who feel the need to vomit every last inane thought that flits across their heads onto social media, which is why they're always in trouble. The big stars know better. They keep their mouths shut.
Yes. To conclude on the whole Star Trek thing, did you, for example, meet Nichelle Nichols, Uhura?
Yes.
She was
she's lovely.
Fantastic woman. She's passed away now, unfortunately,
recently? I know, yes, recently.
But she was, again, a groundbreaker, a black woman on the bridge of a starship in a time when black people weren't seen so much in positions of authority on TV.
Just such a lovely lady. Avery Brooks.
Oh, from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, that deep voice of his and that presence.
Oh, Lord help me. I could fall asleep to that voice.
Really? A very accomplished jazz musician as well, isn't he?
Yes. Stewart, let me tell you.
Patrick Stewart.
Seeing Patrick Stewart on stage, I can tell you right now that not one-tenth of that man's charisma comes across on screen.
Wow.
He will walk onto a stage and knock your socks off. He is so good. He is so good.
Captain Picard. From Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Oh.
And also he was an X-Men and loads of Shakespeare and a Shakespearean actor, of course.
But what I find for a lot of the Star Trek stars, original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Void, they are fun.
Oh.
They do not take themselves too seriously. They don't let you think. They don't want you to put them on some kind of pedestal. They just want to relax and have fun. Jonathan Frakes will have you in ditches.
From the next generation.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Number one, Mr. Riker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'll need to conclude about it. I'll have to invite you again and we'll have a whole program.
You, me, and Bazmajan.
He's into Star Trek, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Michael Bazmajan, absolutely. But we need to conclude the show. And I'd like to ask you, you've been involved as a volunteer in these big Star Trek conventions, which mm-hmm. attract thousands of people.
Yes, yes.
And these celebrities who attend. Mm-hmm. Would something like that be, would it ever be possible to have something like that happen in Malta? Well, I mean, they have Comic Con.
Yes,
and things.
Yes.
And for example, this year in 2024, they invited and he accepted. There was an actor from the movie Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon himself mm-hmm, was here. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, there was one of the actors from the A-Team. Dirk Benedict was over.
Oh, Dirk so Benedict kind of is like, brilliant.
Oh, you've met him.
Of course.
Do these celebrities, would they consider coming to Malta? What would they think if, you know, their agents were asked, we're doing this comic convention in Malta. Is Malta important enough, do you think, for...
Yes, I don't see why not.
As long as they get paid, I guess.
Well, it is quite common for them to get paid. I mean, but then again... there's the film industry in Malta is quite solid. So if yeah. you have a Star Trek star who happens to be filming here, you know, asking him to take a weekend off to do a Comic-Con yes. might be a bit of a money saver.
Yes, that's true. That would be. The only Star Trek actor, I think, who ended up coming to Malta, but he wasn't filming here, but mm-hmm. he came for a Comic-Con about 7-8 years ago, was Robert Picardo. Who you've met.
Yes,
lovely
I have.
Man.
He's
from
so much fun.
Star Trek Voyager. He looks like it, in mm-hmm. even in his mm-hmm. social media posts.
Yes, yes, yes. And then remember, a lot of these Star Trek stars are also British. So yes. they don't live that far away. So it's not such a big deal. Like Colm Meaney is an excellent guest.
Indeed,
and I'm sure he would be willing, you know, if
he was
asked.
He was in
both
Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Yes, he was.
He did come to film something here once. I actually got a photo with him. So he has been here actually in Malta, but not for a convention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But okay, let's go back to... Did you want to say something?
No, some of these actors do what they call the convention circuit, where they go from convention to convention. Mm. So if whoever organizes the Comic-Con here yeah. can, you know, get in touch with the agent of a star like that who does the convention circuit, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be coming here. Mm. Like I said, most of them are very appreciative of their fans, and they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be ones to, you know, go,
snobbish.
Oh, no, that's
yes.
not big enough for me.
Okay.
Most of them are not snobbish. Mm-hmm. The few that are don't really get invited.
Ah, and have you encountered any of them? Let's not name names, but...
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me.
Catherine Brown, so your final thoughts. You've been living in Malta since 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Malta through your international eyes, having lived in Germany, mm-hmm. the United States, mm-hmm. Turkey for a while, mm-hmm. for a short while, and was it Holland as well?
Yep.
And out of all those countries, mm-hmm. which do you prefer? Do you think is the best, has given you the best life?
I'm here, aren't I?
So, Malta.
I mean, as we said, these boots are made for walking, and these boots have decided to stay here. And there's a reason for that.
So if you're asked where you're from, like you're abroad on a trip and you meet someone new, do you say you're Maltese?
Yes.
You're not Maltese. Yeah. I'm Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They say, where's the accent from? Do all Maltese have an American accent?
Well,
and then
I
you
mean,
tell them the story of your life.
I generally tell them I'm half Maltese and half American. And I'm not sure which half is which at this point.
Oh, that's fantastic. Your thoughts about America before we conclude? 2024?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me.
Then we'll end there. Catherine, it's been a blast talking to you. Thank you so much.
I've had a brilliant time. Thank you so much for inviting me.
This is Campus 103.7. Minai Nei Barani in Malta through International Eyes. I'm Colin Fitz. Join us next week at the same time for another edition.